Hello up there in Radio Land. It's time once more for another exciting installment of the Papa Prell Show. I am your host, the Papa Prell, and tonight we're going to have a Prell profile of a great American hero. He was an ace pilot during World War II, the war that I so gallantly fought in. He was a first winner of the Peacetime Congressional Medal of Honor, whereas I only earned a Purple Heart myself, and the first man to fly faster than the speed of sound. Well, I usually take the bus, but seriously, folks, it's a real honor to have Chuck Yeager with me tonight on Prell Profiles. Yeager, why don't you start off by telling the audience your background and when it was and how it was that you joined the Army Air Corps way back there and before the war. I've already heard this story a million times, folks, but it's really, really funny, so listen to this.
I had no idea that I would even be a pilot when I enlisted in the Army Air Corps. I went in.
Isn't that funny? I love
and
that.
And since they do ask you questions, you know, what are you good at? They immediately found out I had a maintenance background.
Oh, really? My son Fred has got a maintenance background. You know, you ought to talk with him. He was really good at that before he had problems with the law there. I wonder if maybe you can give him a few tips, you know, like how he could be a pilot like you. I mean, like, how'd you stumble into the flying biz in general and stuff like that?
As I recall, the date that came around, somewhere around the 1st of December.
December?
I saw on the bulletin board.
Oh, really?
At our squadron.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be a pilot?
Did you?
Of course, I knew what cadets were. They needed 2 years of college and had to be 20 years of age. So that was out of my reach.
Yeah, it's out of
Fred's
reach.
So I saw this, all you need is a high school diploma and be 18 years of age. And that caught my attention. I said, you know, it'd be fun to fly airplanes.
Yeah, Fred's
so
got a diploma in high school.
I rode home, got Mom sent me my high school diploma and my birth certificate. And I went in and filled out the paperwork. Immediately, they snapped me. I had to take a physical. Then the psychologist come out and ask you a few questions. You ever wet the bed? Yeah.
You did wet the bed. Well, I would hope that would be a habit that would stop being a test pilot and all, but you got any other strange habits that you want to tell our listeners about?
I remember saying, I don't like girls either, Doc, and he said, get out.
Well, I can't say that I blame him getting you out of there, especially being in an all-male Air Corps, but, well, let's try to stay off the personal stuff there, really, Chuck. I think I'll stick with calling you Yeager. Let me ask you a more serious note here. I could have sworn you were married. In fact, I know you are because the gal had the same name as my first son's ex-wife, Gladys. In fact, I believe they lived in the same town, Orville, like the popcorn. You didn't pop her, I hope.
No, I remember she was a very good-looking gal and obviously
disease,
talented, but
sure.
I got to know her better there in Orville because I started running around with her.
Yeah, like all the other men, let me tell you. But be that as it may, I hope it's not the same Gladys because you'd have a few scars to prove it, believe me. What I can tell you about Gladys, in fact, I've heard rumors, now these are just rumors, mind you, that she was involved in, what's a nice euphemism these days, a house of ill repute. but I'm sure your wife isn't the same prostitute. I mean, there must have been something to tip you off besides the diseases, I'm sure.
About she's making quite a bit of money compared to what I was doing.
Oh, that'll do it.
Three jobs and a very aggressive...
Probably holding on a lot more.
Business-wise.
Oh, they have
smart.
To be. They have to be aggressive in that business. You know, it goes with the territory. Yeah, I wonder if maybe they may be one and the same person, you know, because Gladys is a pretty old lady, let me tell you. At least some of her professions are. Let's figure this out. You were there in the 50s, all the way up to 55. How old were you back then?
I was 19 years old.
That's about right.
And we just looked at gals as fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, they
were, keep your mind off the guys.
Go dancing or
booze
around or, although I wasn't 21 yet.
Well, size doesn't matter.
That everybody drink real hard and fly real hard and do everything else real hard. But,
now, really, Chuck, this is public radio, so let's not completely spell it out for everyone, all right? I mean, we get the message. Getting back to Gladys, though, how'd you ever end up getting hitched?
You don't talk about getting married. You don't
commit yourself.
You're pretty loose.
Oh, well, maybe you're loose, but I'm not loose. Oh, you mean Gladys. Yeah, well, maybe they are one and the same. Tell me this, though. What was it that forced you to do it? Did the father have a gun?
I was probably pretty well committed to her, but I didn't know it. Neither did she.
Oh, I get it. One in the oven, yeah. That's the world's oldest trick. Well, you know, let's not dwell too much on your personal tragedies. Let's try to get on to the good stuff. I heard you got in a little bit of trouble when you flew over your own hometown.
I had trouble finding the house that Mom and Dad lived in.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
Trees cover houses more than you think when you're on the ground.
And sure, sure.
I finally picked it out, and I laid back from about 10,000 feet and got that old jug up to about 500 miles an hour and went across, right down across town there, really, really whistling.
Mm-hmm.
And it must have made terrible noise.
I bet.
People had never been exposed to something like that. And
can you blame them?
And it's created quite a panic. And then I hung around town, you know, buzzed it, you know, two or three times, circled it.
Funny,
went back to right field and then worked all day. And that night I called home and that was a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
They were said they'd have killed me, I think, if I'd have been there.
Yeah, I think I would have killed you, too. I mean, I'm sure you were trying to be funny there, Chuck, but I mean, the humor just kind of escapes me. They probably broke a few glasses and stuff like that. But you're a fighter pilot. They pay you to destroy things. And, well, let's get to that, okay? Roll back the clock to 1943. Hitler declares war. What happens?
Yes, we're going to war. We didn't look at a war as a place to get killed. We looked at a war as, you know, a place
kill
for,
other
to
people,
apply
yeah.
our trade.
Oh, to apply your trade. Well, it sounds like your wife there speaking, but hopefully you left her at home. Speaking of a trade, is that how you found some of the action over there, you know, when you needed affection and all? What with the war and all, you know, I imagine women were in a big demand. Or is that when you developed some of your more unusual tendencies?
And that's what I did. I heard a guy chopping wood, and I went over there, and he's a
lumberjack.
Poor guy, and he was chopping wood, and you've got to realize I don't speak any French at all, and he don't speak any English.
It's a universal
hard
language.
To make him understand, but he looks at you. He knows who you are. He knows you're an American pilot.
I'll give you the look.
And he knows there's been a fight the day before.
Sweating.
And, he gave me some cheese and bread because I was starting to get hungry.
Oh, well, let's not talk about the hunger there. We know what happens after that there, Chuck, and I think we've beaten this topic pretty much to death. If you don't mind me saying, let's try to stick with the Air Force choice if we can, because that's what you're famous about, you know, and this being San Francisco and all, I don't think we need to play to the audience. It might sound like we're actually endorsing that type of behavior, and of course, back in those days, you can get in a lot of trouble for doing that sort of thing, couldn't you?
Turned herself in, put us in a jail there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
In town.
Yeah,
it was a joke to us, because we're in a neutral country now.
Yeah,
you've
together
been in a
and
war
all, yeah,
environment.
Like, put you in jail for being
easy
together.
After a war environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we went so far as they hadn't taken our survival kits, which had the little hacksaws in, and we just cut the bars off those things and went out the end of the jail. Well, they didn't pay attention to us. Went down to eight and mm-hmm. run around town and slept. But then
I bet
we began to worry and said, hey, we got to get out of here.
I bet. You can get in a lot of trouble over there in Spain, you know. They still got a lot of those church authorities that carry quite a lot of weight around there. In fact, didn't one of them intercept you and take you somewhere?
He took us and took us to a store and bought us some clothes.
You were still naked?
And put us up in a hotel.
Oh, now, come on, now, that's enough. You know, I don't want to hear any more of this, Chucky. You know, this is public radio. We're not before, you know, we're in the early evening hours. Now, if you can't keep it clean, I'm afraid I just must request that you stay silent, because this is a family show, and we're just not going to endorse that type of morality. All right? Now, let's hear something clean, if you don't mind. Some story other than you and your buddies.
I remember we found part of a sheep carcass in the snow.
Oh, now, wait a minute there, Chuck. I'm going to have to cut you off there. You know, I've given you plenty of warnings that we just keep on coming, you know, going from worse into worse. And when we start talking about bestiality, that's where I draw the line. You know, that's just too much. Now, I'm sorry to be rude and interrupt, but I'm just going to have to stop you there. I warned you. I asked you nicely. And I damn sure put up with a lot more than I would have with just any hairy dick or Tom off the street. But you're just too much. Now I know why I haven't heard you on other interview shows. Why they call you America's unsung hero. It's because when you do sing, it's the Torch Song Trilogy. Just three flaming topics. Whores, homosexuals, and horny animals. Over and over again, ad nauseam. And I'm getting sick of it. Nauseous to my stomach. But what really makes my bio boil is knowing that you get billed as a hero. Millions of Americans look up to you. Especially as a pilot. And then I meet you in person and I get this. I don't understand it. How can you manipulate the media and get away with it?
Money.
I said be quiet, and I mean it. All your fake status and big shot reputation don't mean anything to me. I'm retired. I used to be in the military, too. The fact that you're a colonel, though, doesn't mean anything. I'm out of there. Money. I should have known. The root to all evil. Well, if you think you could buy yourself a recommendation or a good word from me, you're sadly mistaken. I'm not going to give you a Prell paperweight. I'm not going to give you a Prell certificate. And if anybody asks me if you want my show, I'll deny it. And tell them I wouldn't let you on, because I'm not going to let you on, ever, ever, never again. And I apologize to the audience for letting you on in the first place. If I knew what I was in for, believe me, I wouldn't have. But be that as it may, I'm sorry, I'm truly sorry. and I hope I haven't offended or rather let him offend too many of my gracious audience out there. And please, please forgive me. I'll try to make it up to you somehow. In fact, I've got a little bit of music here which better represents what the United States Air Force is all about. So I think I'm going to play that, and hopefully that'll start to make up for the terrible, terrible representation that we've heard tonight. Here then is Here We Go Into the Wild Blue Yonder, and please join me next week when we have a better guest. I don't know who, I don't know what, but we'll get something better, and believe me, I'll preview it a lot more carefully. Here then is Here We Go Into the Wild Blue Yonder. Well, don't just sit there and stare at me. Get out of here! And don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you! The check's in the mail, leave! Not the mail you like, though. Have a nice flight. I hope you crash.